This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And this is Enterprise, and it's now time for Tech Talk. Sorry about the delay there. Victor, you got caught in traffic.
I was coming from KL. And Ferrari Highway also jammed up because of Mid Valley.
And it's a Friday as well. I think a
Thursday,
lot of
Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Sorry, yeah. It's a Thursday. I think a lot of people are just trying to
get out. Because there's actually a baby expo happening. So
you got caught in that.
Don't go to Federal Highway. This is a traffic update. Don't go to Federal Highway at all today, please.
You see what happened and you go to Federal Highway, you missed the show.
Like, yeah.
So we've got 10 minutes passed already. So let's just quickly go into things. We're wrapping up the month of November.
That's right.
There were a whole bunch of things. Like the US presidential debate happened. Then there's like this whole fake news on Facebook. Apparently it had something to do the election results had.
How they influence elections and all that.
And then the whole topic about fake news kind of came about.
Yep. Actually, the fake news was actually pretty interesting because there's always been hyped news on Facebook and Twitter and so on, right?
It's those news that, you know, they have like those clickbait titles and the links are very suspicious and all, or?
No, like the clickbaits are different from fake news.
Okay.
Clickbaits are like those like, he did this and this happened, find out and so on, right? At first, it was a pretty good thing. After a while, it got very boring.
It got too boring.
But now this fake news is an issue because I'm not saying about the US presidential election, but more I'm thinking of like recently there was this case about child abduction and how they were sold in Thailand for their organs and stuff like that. That's nonsense because it's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the visuals show it, right? And you got things like the recent earthquake in Japan, which I missed, by the way. I was really flying out of Tokyo by then.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was no reports of massive tsunamis, just maybe like 1 meter high. But there was one or two websites from Malaysia, they're saying, there's like walls of water coming into Fukushima again. Mm. And they use the old visuals from years ago.
Right.
Which is terrible.
This is all fake news stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a big problem because, you know, it's being spread around like
correct.
And it comes back as well. Every year, you see these things resurfacing again. And you're like, hang on a minute, this is an old story.
Yeah,
man.
Correct.
It's not even a non-story. It's a fake story.
Correct. Actually, I think now, right, it's a practice. It's good practice for all of us to actually check the timestamp of the story before we actually even share. I mean, I have been at fault a few times for sharing stories without checking the dates.
Yeah.
And then a friend told me, hey, this is from 4 years ago. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I think I had a thing where one of the musician passed away, but he passed away many, many years ago.
Oh, right.
I just didn't know about it. And I saw the news. I'm like, one of the, you know, you got a friend on Facebook who posted it and I shared it. And then one of my friends like,
and it goes on there, right?
This happened 4 years ago. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, didn't know.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing when it comes to and whether it's fake news or whether it's old news and stuff,
right?
Like, the best thing you could do is actually just do a quick search online
before
you share it.
That's
because
right.
From there, just with a search, and it takes you like a second to
search. That's right.
And it will, on the front page itself of Google search or Microsoft search, Bing search, or anything that you use, it will tell you immediately. You sort of have a sense of feeling,
yeah,
this is legit. Yeah, there are more people who are reporting about this story, or it's just this one.
Correct. Unfortunately for me, I've been I've read comments online about how my news is fake news as well.
Because
I wrote about stuff like, example, the Final Fantasy 15 won't be going onto the PC and stuff, or maybe things like it was just announced in KL that chicken rice will be appear in Final Fantasy 15.
Mm.
And I have comments on other sites who took my link, my stories link, and they were like, no man, this is fake. How come the big guys are not reporting it? This is fake, man.
Oh.
Like, look at the URL, sea.pcmag.com. It's definitely fake. I'm like, dude, no it's not.
You've been the victim of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair for them to say that, fair comment, because they're right. The big sites are not covering that piece of news. But I would like to think more like, because they don't see a value in reporting localized news for the global market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's also this whole fight against cybercrime. We have to take a short break, but then we'll talk about the cybercrime in just a moment. I'm speaking to Victor Yap. He's from PC Mag Southeast Asia. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Enterprise and it's Tech Talk time. And Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia with me in the studio. And we touched on very briefly early on about, you know, fake news. And now it's also talking about, you know, fighting cybersecurity and all. And apparently, you know, a lot of cyber crimes it's a high at the moment. Kaspersky reported recently, right?
Yeah. What happened was this was reported actually in October, but it's still valid only because the topic here is more of security as a whole, and it ties into what we talked about fake news earlier, right? So not about how users are actually vigilant. They're not. About 49% of Malaysians, as the reporter has shown, have been affected by some form of cybercrime, be it cyberbullying or maybe break-ins or virus affecting them. Or even, I've recently known two friends who have been ransomed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they actually experienced ransomware and the whole system locked in.
Wow.
And all they could do is go to Simon Tank, like, I only can do this, right? Otherwise, how? So it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. And because of that, you've got it's hard to catch them because they operate like, you know, it's like a corporation at the moment.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And in fact, funnily enough, Kaspersky has reported beyond just their survey, their Q3 2016 cybercrime survey, they also reported that it's no longer just small guys doing their thing, or it's not a small group doing a hacking activity. It's like a black market ops kind of thing. You have the mafia getting involved. At some point, you also have country threat actors as well, you know, like China or Russia or sometimes the US, right? And the interesting thing, what Kaspersky reported is that they operate like a business. So there's a boss at the top, and then there are paid guys at mid-level, mid-management, and then they got all your little executives running around doing all the grunt work. And it's a big deal because it shows that cybercrime and anything that relates to all these black market activities for the net is no longer just cells. They're like units, right? And they can be franchised. And let's say you kill one, there's still many others under the same business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they spawn everywhere around the world. It's not just certain locations. These guys are around
the world. Correct. I mean, that's what the internet does for you, right? Internet is great, but at the same time, it also opens doors for the bad guys to do these kind of things.
But it's not all doom and gloom, because there are some positives. Like Microsoft, they launched the Asia Pacific's first transparency and cybersecurity
center. Yeah.
In Singapore.
Correct. I went for this event in October. I felt that it has to be a bigger part of the story. Hence why we're talking about security now, because it's a bigger story, right? And especially after what happened with DIN DNS we talked about last month, and how they took down Spotify and Reddit and all that, right? So Microsoft opened this center specifically because for two factors: transparency and security. Transparency is more for the government, in case the government needs to know if their systems can work on Microsoft platform properly. Microsoft shares them some level of code so that they can see, okay, there's no malicious activities or any hacking activities that can be used and leveraged on to go against the government. And that's how we were told it works for Microsoft Transparency Center. So they're transparent with the processes, right?
Okay.
So it's to actually build a level of trust and to show that they are a trusting company. The security part is the more interesting bit, because they're working with guys like Interpol, who is in Singapore right now, and with the other cybersecurity players like Symantec and Cisco, to actually entrain Micro, to actually try and monitor and prevent activities like DNS from happening.
It's interesting that it's the first in Asia Pacific, and they've obviously gone with Singapore, but it shows that at least now Asia Pacific is actually being targeted. We are high on the radar.
Correct. Especially after what happened in the last few months. Remember, like, Malaysia had that DNS spoofing, right? We lost a lot of the government pages and everything. And then we constantly get hacked by other extremist groups as well. So they're here because they have two centers, one in the US and one in Europe. And they felt that they need one more center to actually manage and maintain their autonomy in the Asia Pacific region.
Okay.
Hence why they actually put one in Singapore, because it's in central located, so you can go to India, they can manage China, they can manage Japan and Malaysia and so on and so forth.
Mm. One of the ways to sort of help you in terms of protecting your data and stuff is encryption.
Yep.
So Google are obviously looking into this, and they are trying to do, they're building an AI to build an encryption.
Yeah. that's because the they felt that everything should be automated, right? Yeah. And it makes sense for them because they're already so big with their search engine and so on. And they have been dealing with encryption. I mean, the Google Talk has some level of encryption. They have security measures in their Google Docs and their Google Office platforms. So they made this because they felt that it's something that should be automated.
Yeah.
Less prone to errors, I think.
Yeah.
But the Google did this because they felt that it ties into their whole AI system. They have an AI, so why not?
Yeah.
And I feel that from what I've seen so far, especially since I went to cover their Google Cloud services and everything, it makes sense.
Mm.
It makes sense because the AI will be able to learn on the spot what works, what doesn't work, and they will be able to actually retrofit things that they know can work into other areas of the business.
And AI is the next big thing anyway. So it makes sense that, you know, as long as it doesn't go Skynet.
Yeah, correct. But it makes sense. You're right. It makes sense because that's the way forward, right?
Mm.
Better efficiencies, faster processes. Why not?
But for you, the winner is IBM.
Oh, yes.
Because they have their data center in the US where they built a copy of the internet.
Correct.
And they are holding a mock cyber attack against large corporations. It's called like a cyber range. Something like shooting range, but it's called a cyber range.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be what? They're just going to be doing what they plan to do.
Actually, think of it as a sandbox. You know how security vendors have sandboxes for their software to test their software against particular threats, right? So IBM, what they did was, look, why do we have only one small sandbox for different vendors? Why don't we build one big sandbox, the whole internet? So they converted the entire data center into the internet, but they locked it down into a localized zone, and they're testing all their security features, their next-gen concepts, and on-site.
Wow.
Yeah, of course, security is not just about prevention or reaction. So they need to also predict now, right? And for IBM and for other vendors to predict, they need to have a mock attacks.
Mm.
So a localized attack of a small scale is not going to do it anymore. It's not going to cut it. I mean, look at DIN DNS.
Yeah.
The whole East Coast of the US went down, right? And the whole world's content providers went down. So they need that kind of scale to do this kind of prevention activities and monitoring. So IBM, they just stepped up and like, okay, we did this. Now we can actually build world scale attacks and then see how we can actually deal with them.
Awesome. Now it's obviously very scary when we talk about cyber crimes and everything. So let's talk about something fun.
Okay.
Gaming. Level Up KL 2016 happened recently. The video game industry is just booming, and MDEC is definitely riding on this. I was supposed to be there. I fell ill first day, and I couldn't make it for the panel discussion on the Monday.
You missed a lot.
I missed a lot. I missed a lot. I saw all the reports that came out.
Yep.
And it was amazing to see just how fast we've come from, you know, a few years ago, the gaming industry was just completely, no one was talking about it.
Correct.
Now, just like over this year, it's just expanded. Like Konami has an office now in here in,
Bandai Namco.
Yeah, Namco has an office here in Malaysia. It's like, these were the stuff of dreams when, you know, we were growing up and we were playing all these games. It's like,
and we tell your parents, we'll make it there one day.
We're going to go to Japan and work in this place. And then their offices is here.
Yeah, and your parents were like, no kid, you should just go and be a lawyer or be a doctor, right?
Now it's a completely different story. We are planning to be a hub for Asia Pacific.
Correct. Actually, we always had that plan. But originally, when MDEC came about, and when you met Hasno.
Yeah.
So when Hasno was working at MDEC previously, it was more making Malaysia the hub for game development. They achieved it somewhat. More could be done. Mm. So now that more is being done already, simply because we're no longer looking at just being the leader in the region. We want to be the leader, as in we lead the region to become a game development hub.
Mm.
That's why the we have this event Level Up. Second time this happened. Yeah. Last year was pretty good. Very surface. They talked about how things are with the Southeast Asia scene for game development.
So last year was more of an introduction of what's happening.
Correct.
So this year,
it's more in depth. They actually talked about what we can do to grow. So the report that came out last year was just about what's going on. This year's report was more on how do we drive talent to become part of the industry, how to make the industry better. Because everyone knows this region, surprisingly, have a lot of talent in terms of programming, in terms of writing, in terms of graphic design and game design and so on. And it's a melting pot of activity here now, not just in Malaysia, in Singapore, in Philippines, Vietnam. And to an extent, because we're neighbors, Japan, Korea and China, right? And it makes sense for us to as Malaysia, to actually go forward and become a leading game, regional game hub, simply because we are in the middle of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone comes here, they can see, they instead of pinching our talent to go overseas, why not we open shop here instead and just grab the talent and put it in the office, local offices here. That's the idea.
Mm.
So talks that happened level up KL were mixed. There were things like how to be how to write better scripts for games and for animation to a point. What are the challenges that SEA game developers face here? And there was one guy, this game developer, which honestly I did not know until I met him at Level Up. His name is Rami Ismail. He's a pretty big indie game developer. He's been around the world giving talks and stuff. And of all the talks I've been to in Level Up, besides the SEA challenges that developers face, his was the most engaging.
Ah, it was the highlight for you.
Yes.
All right. Because, why so?
Because he did a reverse psychology kind of talk. He actually challenged the game developers in the hall and asked them, why are you here? Why aren't you a doctor? Why aren't you an engineer? Why aren't you a waiter? Why are you here? Right? You're here to make games. So what? That stunned everybody, you know. And he himself is a game developer, right? So he laid out the playbook. He said, look, things will happen. There will be challenges. It's up to you and how you do it to climb up the ladder and become a better game developer and so on. There's no such thing as finding that one hit and becoming the next Angry Birds. That to him is the overarching message. It's more about creating games that are immersive, they are great, they are memorable, not just a one hit wonder. I mean, look at what happened to the developer Rovio, right? Angry Bird, that's it.
The movie and all.
So that's the extension of my thoughts from his talk, right? It is true. Well, that one hit, and what does it do? Nothing. So he shared quite a few things, and he also said, at the end of the day, the challenge, not just the big boys, he also challenged the guys who are also trying to get to the big boys.
Yeah.
And it includes him. Mm. Yeah. So it's like, if you can't fight at me, then why are you here? Like, okay, that's actually very good.
And it inspires the developers
on the ground.
To make sure that, yeah, you know what, I can't just be resting just because maybe I may have one game that I would consider successful, but
correct,
it doesn't mean that's it, I've done it.
Yeah.
You need to keep pushing.
And doing better, right?
Do better. Yeah.
And so actually, and it ties back to what we're talking minutes ago about Malaysia and being regional hub, because, yeah, you said Bandai Namco Studios is here. Previously, you have Codemasters, you had Streamline Studios, and then we are doing AAA games now. We're working with Bandai Namco Tales of Hysteria. We're working with Uncharted 4, Naughty Dog. We're working with Final Fantasy 15.
It's
launching next week, right?
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yes. But yeah, I mean, this is just an example.
Yeah.
But at Level Up, right, not just the analysts or the media, but even the developers were a bit surprised that we have a AAA sound producer also in KL. He's operating in KL. He is doing things for AAA games like Call of Duty, like Capcom. He actually, in fact, if it weren't for Level Up, he would have been in Brazil to watch the Capcom Orchestra concert, because he did that playlist. And it's called, the studio is called Soundtrek, T-R-E-C. And he's from here, he's already producing sound engineer work four games that are internationally acclaimed. It's insane. It just shows that Malaysia is the place to be. Because, oh, by the way, the guy who runs Soundtrek is Malaysian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, you see, we have the talent.
We have it.
So it only makes sense for the big boys, the industry, to come here and open shop.
All right. From video games, we will talk about the mobile phones in just a moment. And then we've got a whole bunch of things. We've got Netflix story as well. So,
oh, yes.
And we've got the PS4 Pro. Sony announced a few games as well.
Yep.
I'm going to pick your brains and ask you which is your favorite that they
announced
for the PS Pro.
Yeah.
We'll do that in just a moment. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
We've come to the last hurdle on today's Tech Talk with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia. Early on, we spoke about Level Up KL.
That's right.
And the gaming scene. Esports is trending very highly as well. We've seen cinemas doing, you know, live streaming of esports.
In Malaysia, right? Malaysia. Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's a big thing. You know, you've made it when you've got local cinemas who are doing live streaming of, you know, esports competition. And Asus, they made a big bet on this. They had their mega event in KL.
Yeah, it's a global thing. It's called the Asus Republic of Gamers Masters, Asus ROG Masters, and the what they had was two different competitions. They had their Dota 2, I don't recall.
They had Dota 2 and they had the Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Yeah, so actually what happened was they gathered all the major teams from the region and maybe parts of Europe to actually come to KL for the mega finals because they had all these playoffs around the globe, and it's not done locally, like in a cyber cafe or what. They did it online. That's the interesting part. So people actually could watch on Twitch live, but they're playing online. So like one team versus the other team through the internet. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how they save the cost on logistics because their big finale cost them a lot of money. They did it at KLCC,
the convention center.
Yeah. They took two halls, and you know those esports videos we see on Twitch, like in America during the
got commentary.
Yeah, correct. The international for LOL. I mean for Dota 2 and all that, and even in Korea, the stadium size thing. Asus emulated that here in KL. So it's a stadium size sitting. You got your 5v5 booths. You got live commentary with Mat Saleh, foreign commentators.
This just feels so professional. Yeah. And it's happening here in home ground, right? We always used to see it on Twitch or YouTube gaming and all that, right?
When do we get there, right?
Yeah.
And we're there already.
We're there now. Yeah. It's here in our backyard.
And the interesting thing was Asus Malaysia only had a hand in running parts of the Malaysian aspect of the event. Mm. But it's a global thing. So the US teams were here. I mean, Asus US teams, the Taiwanese teams, they're all here to make sure the event worked. And it did. It live streamed on Twitch, live streamed on YouTube. There were some other live streams from other YouTube guys as well. The winner walked home with a lot of money. Unfortunately, both not local teams. One was, if I'm not wrong, one's from Philippines. Another one is from, I think, Europe, or maybe Eastern Europe. But one of those teams have a Malaysian player.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. So at least
we're getting there. Next year, buddies.
It's not a whole on Malaysian team like Team Orange, who now is called Team Fnatic, I think. I'm not an esports expert, so I'm guessing here. But yeah, Team Orange did win previously 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. This time round, it's not a global event, but it's big enough that the cash prize is above 100,000 ringgit. Ooh. Yeah. Mm. They're playing in the USD at least.
Nice.
And I can say for sure a fact that it's inspiring. It will inspire teams here who are local, not linked to anything like SKT Telecom or to Fnatic or to any of the other big groups, right? It will inspire the local teams to do something about it. And hopefully Asus ROG will come back here and do another event here, and hopefully we'll take the crown this time.
Yeah, hopefully we will do it the next time round. Bring it back. Anyways, the PS4 Pro is out as well, and Sony, they released a list of more than 30 titles.
As expected. Yeah.
Any picks?
For me, I honestly don't play sports. I don't play FPS, right? So the list for me is very, very small.
Very small.
Yeah. I mean, I would go with Last of Us. Yeah, the remastered, the Playroom for sure. I like those family games, right? And Uncharted 4, why not?
Why not, right? And there's a Malaysian element towards it, which we're all talking about the whole show.
Yeah, that's right. And then for something maybe a little bit throwback for me, because I used to play basketball, the NBA 2017.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That will be really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. And these are all optimized for the PS4
Correct.
Pro.
Correct. So you have to buy another disc.
You have to buy another disc. And you obviously, if you have the PS4 Pro, make sure you have a 4K TV. So
4K HDR.
4K HDR.
Yeah, because PS4 Pro actually is optimized for 4K HDR. And there's an update that you need to download to actually get to that processing performance.
All right. Now, very quickly, shout outs.
There are quite a few shout-outs, actually. First off, the Final Fantasy 15.
Yep.
It's launching on Monday night our time.
This is your childhood dream come true.
Kind of. 10 years in the waiting, right? Yeah. So it's gonna be a big event. Gamers Hideout and some of his partners, I think along with Square Enix, are gonna do a midnight mega launch at Times Square.
Make sure we be there.
Yes. And it's not gonna be in some outdoor thing. It'll be in the cinema.
No.
Yeah. And they actually booked the GSC Max cinema.
Nice.
So basically it's IMAX level kind of stuff. Sweet. Launch.
And I'm sure you can find out information on Gamer's Hideout.
Yes, the website.
Page,
yeah, correct.
Go find out. Yeah.
Correct. And then the another shout out I want to talk about is the CSGO event. Oh, another esports one.
Another esports.
Yeah, this is by BenQ and their esports arm Zawi. So they're having a competition at the Orange Stadium.
Ooh.
Yeah. The prize money is something enticing for most local players. At the end of the day, they're doing this because they want to show off their new mice and sound systems for esports.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening this weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
And is that all the shout-outs we have for
everyone?
It's been a month of gaming in that sense. Like, it just sounds everything.
Yeah.
November's been a month of gaming, and I think December is going to be a month of gaming as well because there's a lot of holidays and there's a lot of games that's going to be released.
Black Friday is happening tomorrow.
And Black Friday is happening tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like
exactly.
It's a lot like our...
Go crazy tomorrow, man.
Well, if you have accounts in the US,
yes,
right?
Yes, accounts in the US, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a lot like the Singles Day event that happened recently.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have your Xiaomi's and your 11 Streets and so on, and... your Taobao's giving away stuff for like off like 99% discount, right?
Mm.
So same thing, but it's in the US.
Yeah.
You need a US account to actually buy all these things.
There are some people who do have US accounts.
I got friends actually writing on Facebook, do you anyone can help me buy an Overwatch code from the US for 40% off? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the sales are like crazy. So yeah, I'm sure if you know people around, you know, you could ask help for them to get some really good steals.
Yeah.
Black Friday's.
Do you have anything?
That I'm looking out for Black Friday?
Yes.
Nah,
or Cyber
nothing,
Monday.
Nothing really in particular. It's time to save money, man.
It's true. That is true. For Christmas, right?
For Christmas, yeah. Exactly. Save money for Christmas. Anyways, Victor, we will speak again in a few weeks' time, in a couple of weeks' time.
Hopefully. I won't be late this next time.
Won't be late next time. Won't be late next time. Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia, and obviously you can find out all the stories that we talked about today on the website, which is sea.pcmag.com.
That's right, .com. Yeah.
And also there'll be a podcast that will be available on bfm.my, and there'll be a whole bunch of links that you can find on the site. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.